Good afternoon and welcome to Midday. I'm Gabe Ortiz. It's an election year, and in Baltimore County, voters should expect to see a longer ballot. For the first time since the county received its charter in the 1950s, the county council has added two new seats, and new seats means new races and redrawn districts. John Lee covers the county for WYPR, and he joins me here in Studio A with the latest on this race and so much more. John, how are we doing today?
Doing just fine. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Great to have you on the show, as always. So these primaries on June 23rd, they're going to be the first election since Baltimore County added these two new seats, and they voted to add them back in November of 24, making the 7-seat council now a 9-seat council. But before we get into some of the races, I want to talk about the maps. How are the maps in Baltimore County now different because of the two new seats that have been added?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, Gabe, let's just talk about this coming election is going to be a transformative election for Baltimore County. There's just no question about it. And so what you have is a map now where I think people of color, women, feel like they have a better chance of winning in districts. Because what you have currently on the Baltimore County Council are 7 guys. One member is black. And this is in a county that is 30% African-American and almost 50% people of color. And so they were trying to come up with a way to get more diversity on the Baltimore County Council. And as we were sitting here today, we're still 3 months away from the primary, but it looks as though they've succeeded because there are a wide range of candidates all across the county.
And do you think that if the seats weren't added and if these maps weren't drawn in the way that they were drawn, would we see such a diversity of candidates? Or do you think many of them were spurred on by this new opportunity presented by new maps across the county?
Yeah, I do think they were spurred on. And also they were spurred on by the fact, and again, this is incredible to think about, which is that you have 9 council districts. 7 of them will not have incumbents. There's only 2 incumbents running in the race. And so that means there are 7 open seats. And so that is an unbelievable opportunity for people. They saw it and a number of candidates have grabbed it.
And what has led to this exodus from the county council that all these seats are opening up? Why is that?
Well, the race for county executive, for the most part, you have 3 members of the county council, current members of the county council. That would be Julian Jones, Izzy Patoka, and Pat Young, who are all candidates for county executive. You can't run for two seats at once. So they had to make a decision, all right, stepping down from the county council because I want to run for county executive. So that's 3 of the seats. The other 2, the council members are retiring, Wade Catch and Todd Crandall. They're retiring. And then you have the 2 new seats. So that adds up to 7. The only 2 incumbents are David Marks and Mike Ertel, and it's telling that in the primary, they are the only 2 candidates who don't have challengers because they're incumbents. And
sure.
So the power of incumbency, that's the story. And so because you have so many open seats, that's a big reason why you have so many candidates.
And you referenced this when we first started this conversation, but I don't think that we can overstate just how different Baltimore County politics is going to look at the end of this election season. You're somebody who is at these county meetings a whole lot, and you know a lot of these faces, you know a lot of these voices. As a reporter in Baltimore County, is there any level of excitement or intimidation that you're going to have to learn a lot of new names, you're going to have to shake a lot of new hands? What's the vibe around people who are working with and around the county council with all the shakeup that's coming?
Well, as a reporter, I'm excited about it because I think it's going to change the county council. The county council has a reputation of sort of being a going along, getting along council. Not that they don't have their moments. They do. But for the most part, it's a pretty laid-back bunch up there on the dais. And also, you get the sense that there's a lot of decisions that are being made before they ever enter into council chambers. And so my sense of it, and actually I spoke with a former council member, Vicki Almond, a couple of months ago, and she said the same. She said that where there's been this reputation of decisions being made beforehand, that may be going out the window. And there could be an opening up the process. You know, the council doesn't have committees to examine legislation. That's something that's being floated. Maybe that's going to be part of a 9-member council. So it's sort of an opening up of the process. And at the same time, because you're going to be getting more diverse voices, I think you're going to be seeing some really, unless I miss my guess, really spirited debate in the council. So as a reporter, can't wait.
My name is Gabe Ortiz, speaking right now with John Lee, the WYPR Baltimore County reporter, talking about a whole lot of shakeup in a very busy election season for Baltimore County. So you talked about that race for county executive. Right now, they have Kathy Klausmeier in that role, but she will not be running for this election for county executive. She was actually placed there after Johnny Olszewski moved out of that role and is now a member of Congress. So can you re-mention the names for us? Izzy Patoka, Julian Jones are two of the people who are currently on the council, now running for county executive. Who else is in this race?
Right. Izzy Patoka, Julian Jones, Pat Young, another council member. Nick Stewart, who is he's a former member of the school board. He's an attorney, and he's been part of a smart growth group. So he's been very active. If you read closely stories about Baltimore County, you will often see Nick being quoted. So he's interested in issues like affordable housing and that sort of thing. And then at the last minute, a fifth candidate entered the race for the Democratic nomination, Mansoor Shams. And so now you have five in there running for it. It's an interesting collection because Jones and Patoka, they've been running for county executive for years. They've been fundraising for years for this moment. And so they've got a lot of money. Both of them had more than $1 million when the last campaign finance report came out in January. So they are the ones who have the big war chests. And then after that, really interesting this year, Gabe, is that for the first time in the county, there's public financing, which is the idea is to level the playing field for somebody who doesn't have Julian Jones or Izzy Patoka money. And so that's helping Pat Young. He has qualified for public financing. So that's kind of putting him in the game to be able to be competitive. Nick Stewart has the fundraising people who were behind Wes Moore. So he's doing pretty well on raising money, too. So it's a very competitive, really interesting competitive field.
And it's a tough one to predict as well.
It is.
It's something that, you know, I would love to ask you, who's the early front runner? Who do you see winning this whole thing? But I don't know if there's a clear-cut answer to that right now, which is what makes it so exciting.
It's true. I mean, the one campaign in particular just this week put out a poll. But here's the thing. When candidates and campaigns put out polls, you have to be careful about them because, shocker, that candidate was leading. So you just have to, like, think, well, take that one with a grain of salt. So your point is well taken. Could there be some kind of a poll that we could trust coming out before June? Maybe. I haven't heard of it yet.
That's the rundown on county executive. I want to turn now to some of these county council races. You reported on the Republican primary for the 5th district seat. Mm-hmm. That's the north part of the county running up against Pennsylvania. Kind of starts in that Timonium area, the suburbs of Timonium along York Road, for anybody who's familiar with that area, going up towards the Pennsylvania border. And you called it, quote, a race to watch. So can you talk to us a little bit about this District 5 race and who are the players involved, and particularly on the Republican side, what is that primary looking like right now?
Sure. Well, on the Republican side, you have a contest. The Democratic side, you don't. There is a Democratic candidate, but there's no primary. There's no competition for the primary. So on the Republican side, you have Nino Mangione, a well-known person. He is a delegate. He's been in the House of Delegates for 8 years. The Mangione name, well-known in the community as developers, part of the family business, but also benefactors. They have been very supportive of GBMC and the Walters Art Gallery and other places. So they are. It's a name that people know. Also, Nino Mangione's cousin, Luigi Mangione. We know that name because he is on trial, will be on trial for shooting a UnitedHealthcare executive. So there's that. So the Mangione name is well known. Pretty close to the filing deadline, Theo Legarter entered the race. And if you haven't heard the name, it's understandable, but he is pretty well known in that part of the county. He is the Gunpowder Falls Riverkeeper. And basically, it's his job to keep an eye on the environment, on the Gunpowder River, Bird River, that sort of thing. He testifies often before council and other governmental bodies. And so that's his thing, is the environment. And so he's made that a big part of his campaign. And if you've driven up, as I'm sure most of our listeners have, I-83 or into northern Baltimore County, it's absolutely beautiful. It's beautiful. And so what he is saying is that, hey, I'm the guy who can protect this district And I'm running against a guy whose family is, they're developers. But Nino Mangione says, no, I've had support from the Maryland Farm Bureau. I promise I'm going to keep this district protected. So you have a really interesting race within the Republican Party. And we'll just have to see how it goes over the next few months.
So when I hear that description of this primary race between the experienced politician mm-hmm. that has a lot of backing, has a pretty big name within the Baltimore community, has a decent financial backing as well, mm-hmm. going up against the riverkeeper of Gunpowder, who I imagine with a tackle box and a bucket hat, you know, tending to the Gunpowder River.
Yeah, you don't have to imagine. That is him.
Well, as someone who's spoken to him, I'll take your word for it. I'm curious, is this a competitive race? Are people getting behind Legarder and his environmental push for this district seat? Or is it interesting because of the story? Or is this actually a competitive race?
Honest answer for you is, I don't know.
Okay.
It's early yet. Legarder got in late, and so I haven't seen any of his financials. He's hoping that he'll get a groundswell of support from people who will support him. Has he received that yet? I don't know. And so we'll have to see how the race unfolds. But, you know, as a reporter, again, who just likes competitive races, I think it's good for the people in the 5th District that they now have a choice in June.
And you had mentioned that Nino Mangione has been working in Maryland politics as a state delegate for about 8 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm also very curious about what incentivizes him to run for a council seat in District 5. It feels to me that this is a very lateral move in a political sense. I'm curious, is this an upgrade for Nino Mangione if he were to win this race and be the representative for District 5 in Baltimore County? What's the motivation behind that move?
I think the motivation, and I talked to Delegate Mangione about this, and also to make the point that it's a well-worn path. There are two former members of the General Assembly currently on the County Council, Wade Catch and Pat Young. Both were in the House of Delegates. A Republican in particular in the General Assembly, what they can do there is limited. It's democratically controlled. They have a difficult time getting legislation passed. And so I think what Delegate Mangione and the others have thought is that, all right, I can go to a county council where I'm one of seven, or now will be one of nine. I will have a bigger voice, and I can really connect with my community, and I can make some real changes. I think that's the attraction for someone to leave the legislature and go to a county council. You're right. You would think that your career is heading in the wrong direction.
Sure.
But no, if you really want to make some change, I think it makes sense.
And the label of Democrat and Republican in 2026 is not very descriptive. There's a large spectrum of what it means to be a Democrat. There's a large spectrum of what it means to be a Republican in modern day politics. So looking at Nino Mangione, what kind of Republican is he?
Well, I asked him if he was a MAGA Republican, and he didn't say no, but he also said he felt it just like a political term that you would just slap on him that doesn't really have any meaning
Sure.
in a local race. However, big supporter of the president. No, he doesn't back off from that. To switch to another council race, which may make your point even better, on the 9th district, which is Dundalk. There are several Republicans in the race for that primary there, but an unabashed MAGA candidate, Tim Fazenbaker, is in that race, as is J.D. Urbach, a more kind of traditional conservative, was named Dundalk Citizen of the Year a couple of years ago. So you have those two guys squaring off. There's not one or two other candidates, but that to me is also really interesting. Again, sort of the Republican Party, I don't want to call it a split, but definitely two different parts of the Republican Party vying for that primary.
And having an opportunity for new members on the Baltimore County Council with the addition of two new seats going from a seven-person body to a nine-person body. I'm interested, how does the school board factor into this? Because for a very long time, as long as I can remember, there have been seven members of the school board and there's been seven members of the Baltimore County Council. And now that we have nine people on the county mm-hmm. council, or soon to have nine people on the county council, we still just have seven people on the school board. Is that going to line up? Are we going to add people to the Baltimore County School Board? Have there been debate about how to handle this? What's the situation on that side of the equation?
That's a really good question. It could be a little messy because there are two proposals in the General Assembly right now to deal with this issue. won by Delegate Kathy Forbes, would basically align the school board districts with the council districts. And you would have, that way, you would have 9 elected school board members and 2 appointed. Currently, it's 7 and 4. This would make it 9 and 2. Senator Charles Sidner is going in a different direction. He is proposing that we keep the current 7 elected school board members and 4 appointed. He likes that mix. Obviously, these two pieces of legislation can't coexist. They're both making their way through their bodies. And then over the next few weeks, as the General Assembly wraps up, we will have to see whether they come to some sort of compromise or what comes of that.
John Lee, WIPR reporter for Baltimore County, joining us, giving us a rundown of election season in Baltimore County. John, I could talk to you about this for a full hour, but we got some great interviews on the other side as well. Really appreciate you making some time for us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Gabe.
You can stay up to date with everything John is doing in Baltimore County for election season and otherwise over at WIPR.org. Go check out his news page there. Lots of good reading to do. When we return, Marylanders celebrate the end of the holy month of Ramadan. I'm Midday. I'm Gabe Ortiz. On Midday, stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR.